Yeah, we're breaking it down from the court to the field. Behind every stat, there's a truth revealed. From the draft day dreams to the final shot. From the locker room talks to the battles fought. Clutch moments caught under stadium lights. Every win, every loss, every high, every fight. Beyond the numbers, where the heart beats loud. Beyond the numbers, where the hustle gets crowned. Beyond the numbers, this is the story we chase. Welcome to the podcast. This is your space.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Numbers, where we get into the stories behind the stats. As always, I am Ben, and this is Will.
You're.
How you doing tonight, Will?
As always, sir, I am living like Larry.
Living like Larry, as always. Excellent and excellent.
The coolest lobster in the sea.
Yes, it is. Yes, he is. Can't deny that. Tonight, we're going to get into, to start off, this game that I just witnessed. I don't know about you, but this Louisville game against Cincinnati. It was a fun time, a great watch. Mekel Brown had himself a phenomenal game, but most definitely a really good second half. We came out, came back, secured the dub. There ain't much to say about it other than our defense really started taking over in the second half. Whatever adjustments Pat Kelsey did were more than phenomenal. They were perfect. Our offense started clicking on all cylinders. Everybody was getting the ball. Everybody was spreading it out. We weren't just taking crazy shots from, you know, the 3-point range. We were getting into the paint. We were challenging the Bearcats. We weren't giving them anything free. They had to work for everything that they did get. And in the end, we had ourselves a nice little win. That's all I've got to say on that. Do you got anything about this game?
Not much. Congrats to the Cards, even though I don't like y'all that much. You know, I'm from Louisville, so
that's okay.
Y'all deserve the dub, at least. I can say that.
I'll take it. All right, real quick, I want to get in and recap or discuss, since there's really no recaps just yet, but discuss some of the ongoing games in the NBA. I would like to start off with the Pacers, and well, we blew what was that actual second or first half lead. We are now currently at the end of the third quarter, losing 100-81, as we tend to do going into the end of the third quarter. We've already given up at least 100 points most of the time. We are just not clicking offensively, and of course, our defense just does nothing. Of course, I wouldn't even be talking about them except for the fact that, you know, Siakam and Nembhard are going, and Mathurin, I can't forget about him. They are going crazy, but unfortunately, the rest of the team just sucks, and, you know, they are one of the only games on at the moment, so I'm going to talk about that. You got anything on that one? Because I don't know about you. The Cavs are just taking us to work.
Honestly, I just needed Pascal for 20 points, and I got that. So I don't care about the Pacers other than that. The Pacers are so terrible. And what kills me about the Pacers, I get it, sir. You're a Pacers fan. It's not understandable.
We're not doing it.
But it kills me the fact that they were a championship team last year. Like, the Pacers? It makes no absolute sense to me.
You know what? I'm not even going to argue it. At least we're better than the Wizards right now, who are sitting at 1-13. They are only halfway through a little over halfway through the third quarter, currently losing to the Raptors 81-64. It's a very dark day for them, very dark season for them. They are not doing too well. The Raptors, however, as they seem to be doing, they are just going crazy, and at a 10-5 record, you kind of just don't. There ain't much to look at and complain about. Whenever you look at Toronto, I mean, Ingram, Barrett, Quickly, Barnes, all of them are doing really well today. I'm actually kind of impressed with Barrett right now. He's putting on himself a little clinic out there. He's getting the rebounds, spreading the ball around. He's got 16 points, and he spent a lot of time on the court. His average is really good, and for the most part, I don't have anything to say bad about the Raptors. Washington, of course, kudos to McCollum for doing his thing, but unfortunately, the rest of the team outside of Johnson has pretty much done absolutely nothing. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to call this a wrap for the Wizards tonight.
Obviously, you got to call it a wrap for the Wizards. The Wizards aren't that great, and, you know, the Raptors are, but I want to highlight the Raptors a little bit in this because the Raptors are actually torching teams and putting them to task every single time. Now, the record may be may not look like everybody else's, but all in all, the Raptors are putting people to work, to absolute work. They haven't had any games that weren't close. They weren't either close or they dominated. So, all in all, I liked the Raptors last year, so I'm going to go ahead and say that the Raptors got something to them this year. And I think Brandon Ingram was the key ingredient that they needed to add to this team. I'm so glad he's not a Pelican no more.
Indeed, sir. I think the Raptors have a good year ahead of them if they stay healthy. Moving on real quick, for those of you who don't know, we are in the Emirates NBA Cup right now. That's what's going on as part of our season. And that was talking about East Group A. We're going to quickly touch on the games going on in East Group B and C. First off, we have the Nets, who also are having an abysmal year, going up against the Celtics and actually currently beating them better than what the Pacers are doing with their terrible record right now.
That's not going to stay like that, though, sir.
Well, I'm not going to say that it's going to stay like that for the entire year. I do think they might win this game, though, which is okay.
I'm saying this game. They're not about to win this game. The Celtics are just playing down right now, but they're about to take off in the fourth.
Listen, Noah Clown is having himself a nice little game. I mean, for that matter, it ain't just him. I mean, Claxton and, of course, you can't forget Michael Porter Jr. They're all three having a good game. And right now, Claxton's having himself a really good game with rebounds. He's got 11. They're putting in the work. I think the Nets are going to get a few wins here and there. The amount of time that these guys are spending on the court, they're really carrying the team. You see a lot of forwards in this game. You know, the forwards are getting the work in. They're big guys. It's who's getting the points. It's the big boys today. Boston, however, they're struggling, man. I mean, really, Jaylen's the only one that's really done anything. I mean, he's got 20 points on the board. But, I mean, Quetta, Pritchard, I mean, even Simmons, like, they're putting up some, but Jaylen Brown's having to carry him, and it's a problem. I just think Peyton needs to really get stepping up a little bit. They need to him and Jaylen, you know, they're on opposite sides of that court, and they both have to counteract with each other. And right now, Jaylen's the only one doing it. And really, the Brooklyn's defense is what's carrying this team right now for this one. So, yeah.
I'm going to say that the biggest mistake that the Celtics made in the offseason was losing Porzingis.
Well, absolutely.
Porzingis was a key on that team. He is a key player for pretty much any team that he's on. They should have never lost Porzingis. It pretty much changed the entire dynamic of the team. Whereas y'all were dominant because it was a multi-threat combination. Now they don't have Tatum. Now they don't have Porzingis. White's having to pick up some slack, which he's not that type of player. He's a role player. He does what he needs to do, not what he can't. And not what he can, he does what he needs to do. Pritchard, he's a six man. These are things that happened all last year to make sure that they got to where they needed to be. Jason Tatum was the key. But you stop Tatum, and you still have to worry about Jaylen Brown. These are the problems that they're seeing now because they'd have lost two people. And Jaylen Brown, while he is a star, he is not. You can't be the lone star on a team.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I mean, at the end of the day, yes, Porzingis is a big loss, and obviously Atlanta benefits from having him. The record, you know, they're sitting at 9-7 right now. It does bear weight in what you're saying, but I will say this. I don't think that them losing him necessarily is what's killing their games. I think really, I think it's more about how they're playing and what they're doing. I don't think it's just as simple as just losing a key player. Unfortunately, I think they need more than that.
I think that the Celtics had the same squad as last year, then we would be talking about the Celtics in a higher light right now. But right now they're really struggling to get past games, even in the blowouts. It's not the same. Last year, you went up against the Celtics, you were blown out by the first half. All the rest of it was just guesswork on how many points will you actually lose by. This year, you never know what spread they could actually cover.
Fair enough. I'm not going to disagree with you. I think you could very well be right. I just think that, you know, at the end of the day, when you look at season leaders, Porzingis isn't the biggest issue that they're having. They need guys to put points on the board.
I'm not saying that Porzingis was the absolute key. I'm saying that Porzingis was a piece. They're missing pieces, and I say this all the time. Teams are literally like a jigsaw puzzle. None of it makes sense until you have all the pieces all put together. The Celtics had that. I don't understand what made them want to lose Porzingis. I don't understand why they're playing the way that I understand why they're playing the way that they're playing right now. And it's because all of these pieces are now falling all over the place. Losing Porzingis was a strike. Maybe if Tatum was still here, we would still have a little bit more of a fight. But there's no fight left in this team because Tatum's gone. Once again, Jaylen Brown is a star. It's not like he's a support player. He's an actual star. But you can't have a lone star on the team. Because once you stop him, who else is going to do anything? Nobody.
You're right. You're right. I agree. Okay, well, moving on to the other games here in the East group. We got Miami and Chicago at half. Miami, who I've always been a bit of a fan of Miami. That actually used to be my team back in the days of Dwayne Wade. Kind of fell off more after we got LeBron because, frankly, I think LeBron probably did more damage than he did help to Miami's legacy. But regardless of that, Miami's leading over the Bulls 70-52. I do have a question for you on this. When you look at these two teams, they both have very good records. They both are very productive on offense, and they're both very good on defense. Do you think either one of these teams that their record is inflated right now? Do you think that Miami's big lead over the Bulls is a sign that the Bulls' record might be a little bit inflated right now?
Well, I've been saying this all season, really, since the season started. The Bulls have, while they've been doing well, their squad is not what it's their squad's not good enough to beat a majority. I don't like using the word not good enough because they have a squad. It's just not a good enough squad. I guess good enough is exactly what I got to use because at the end of the day, they're not Josh Giddey's probably their best player. And Josh Giddey is a role player. He's good for the three. As soon as you pass it to him, like Timo Cruz and Coach Carter, you pass it to him, he's shooting it, it's going to go in, okay? But that's about it. Other than that, you know, you got a bunch of players that aren't high scoring. I think Josh Giddey is actually the highest scoring player on this team with a 21-point average or something like that, 21.7, or it might be 20.7. But
yeah, for this year, currently he is sitting at points per game. Looks like 20.8, which he's averaging 46.6 in the field goal. He is averaging. Let's see, in three-point attempts, he's doing 4.3, and he's hitting on average 1.6 for 37.3%. So, I mean, he's hitting just shy of 50% in field goals, and then he's hitting a little short of 40% in his 3 points. He's doing really good from the free throws. He's hitting 75%. He's only 12 games in, but, I mean, he's getting after it. He's almost at 10 assists per game. I mean, he's pretty close to being good for at least a double-double.
Like I said, Josh Giddey I'm not going to say that it's a problem that Josh Giddey is y'all's star player right now, but his points average is a problem, because if he's your star player, that means he's getting the most points out of everybody, which means everybody's scoring up under 20. Everybody else, you can't count on them to drop the dub. Every other team, there's at least two or three players that you can count on to drop about 18 to 19 to 20 points on any given game. So, you know, when you're looking at it for the Bulls just don't have what it takes to actually beat other teams, because when it comes down to the pressure games, it's going to be it's either their defense wins it out for them or their offense can never get it done.
I agree. Honestly, Vucevic and probably Dosunmu are the other two that really produce on average enough points to be enough to be able to basically to be part of that role playing group to go along with Giddy. Unfortunately, it's not going to be enough at this pace throughout the year, considering the amount of time that they spend on the court. I like Patrick Williams. I think he can do some work. He doesn't put a lot of points up right now, but I like him. I think if he gets involved in the game more, I think he'll be fine. I mean, he's still young. He was a first-round draft pick back in 2020. He played out at Florida State. I mean, he's a forward that's big. He's got some size. He's got some height. I think they need to really get him more in the rotation, although he's sitting at, like, in this game right now, he's just about 10 and a half minutes on the court. So, I mean, this is halftime. So, obviously, these numbers aren't fully, like, you know, relative to what they're going to do by the end of the game. But I do think that these type of games, when you have teams that have similar records like this, it shows that who is and who isn't potentially a little overinflated. So I know we kind of long talked that one a little bit longer than normal, but that this is a very good game, I think, for today.
It's definitely fine. The Bulls are a team that I think are bound to fail eventually, because of the pressure that other teams put on that they don't have. So
right,
moving on. We need to get into the NFL, sir.
We do. Most definitely.
Thursday night football.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to preface this simply by saying 8 sacks. That's all I need to say on my part. I think ultimately this game was won because of 8 sacks.
I'm going to say it was won because of a few other things, too. The Bills? I don't care about how people perceive this opinion. The Bills are not the team to drop to the Texans. Why they are, we will never find out. This
there
is not
is
the team that we're
Bills.
That we were looking at over the past couple the last couple of years.
100%
this is not
agree.
That same team.
This
is ridiculous.
Wrong.
They
Sean
actually
McDermott.
Like Josh Allen is making the most horrible passes.
Sean
his
McDermott.
Last pass of the game was an interception. That was insanity.
Let's be clear. Sean McDermott's got to be the problem here. And that boils down to they have done nothing for Josh Allen. They have not given him any good receivers. Yes, Keon Coleman, Khalil Shakir, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, whatever you want to say. These guys, you can't. none of these are number ones. They're not number ones on the receiving corps. I don't think that outside of Davis's return, that kickoff return for the touchdown, this game was ugly for Buffalo. Josh Allen did literally, I think he did what he could. Again, though, 8 sacks. You realize that is more sacks that's happened to the Bills in a single game. I think the last time was when they played Miami. I think that was like 2 years ago. It was like 2 or 3 years ago or something like that. It's been a few years, but like a couple years ago, Miami had 6 sacks on them in a playoff game. This is the most amount of sacks in a game they've had since Miami did it to them a couple years ago.
It was ridiculous to watch. It, like, they were literally And let's be clear, I saw a couple of play calls that were crazy as all get out as well. Like, I think it was a fourth and I think it was a fourth and two or a fourth and one, and they ran it with Cook. Now, normally, that wouldn't have been insane. But when you're already up to five sacks and they're looking for Cook, everybody in the stadium can see that they're looking for Cook to run this past that yard line. Why would you do that?
Why? Again, I get it. Like I just said,
normal circumstances, this is the okay thing.
Sean McDermott.
This is an okay thing in normal situations. But they had literally been stopping. Yeah, like y'all hadn't been able to move the ball at all. And they haven't. Look, they've been stopped. The only person that's been able to do anything is Cook. If I see Cook in the back, it's fourth and one. What are y'all about to do?
Sean McDermott. Listen, Sean McDermott, and then on the other side of the ball, shout out to the Texans, Davis Mills. That boy is balling out because he knows he's got a short amount of time before C.J. Stroud comes back out there. And that's that. Once Stroud's back, Davis is on the bench, and this dude is playing crazy. I mean, I don't know how this game turned out the way it did. The injuries were a serious problem for the Texans. They had guys going down constantly. Seemed like at least once a drive, if not twice, they were having somebody on the ground. Woody Marks, dude went out there and he played his heart out. I like him. I don't know, you know.
His yards after contact was crazy.
He's a rookie, too. Like, that's the thing. Dude's a rookie. He's got potential in the league. I think he'll be definitely seeing even more snap shares with Nick Chubb because Nick Chubb, let's be clear, he's had a few good little moments in Houston, but he ain't going long-term there. He'll be sent off somewhere else, I'm sure. But, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, even with Nico Collins being hurt and stuff, like getting hurt in that game, they played much cleaner, much simpler football. The Bills, Sean McDermott, 8 sacks, call it a wrap.
The flags in that game were another problem, though.
That's every game.
I'm so sorry.
The last episode, we just got into this about the whole ref thing. For those of you who listen, you'll see our social media. That's all over it right now. The refs are a real problem in the NFL, and there was a ref that got hurt. Did you see that last night? There was a ref that got hurt in the, I believe it was the fourth quarter. Yeah, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff, man. However, I think it's time to move on. That recap was great. Sean McDermott's terrible. Josh Allen has no hope there until they give him some help. The offensive line needs fixed. And, well, they gave up 8 sacks and lost the game. So, I don't know about you, but I'm ready to jump into these upcoming games on Sunday. As you probably have noticed, and for those of you who don't, there is no overseas game. Yeah, there's no overseas game this week, so we're not going to have an early game, and that's all right. Obviously, this is Thanksgiving week coming up. This is not the week of Thanksgiving for football, but, you know, we're getting ready to go into Thanksgiving week. Turkey Day is around the corner, and then the glorious shopping that is Black Friday. By the way, are you and your family going out on Black Friday?
I wish I would. I do all my online shopping. I don't do Black Friday running through malls. Somebody swings on me over a TV, they might get hit with the TV. So, no.
Well, I am going to be going on Black Friday.
You're
I
bold,
hope somebody
sir.
Does try to swing on me. But
you're bold.
Anyway,
I do early Black Friday shopping.
That's where I get my stuff. Early Black Friday. But the fam likes to be out, so therefore I am. For the record, everybody, go to Walmart because apparently they just don't do a lot anymore. And when we went last year, it was actually less busy than a normal day. And on that note, we got Green Bay and Minnesota to start off with, and I have a feeling that stadium will be packed because it, in fact, will be busy as it is a divisional game. We actually have a rough week this week. We have Minnesota followed up with Thanksgiving Day, so a short week, and we play Detroit on Thanksgiving. I'm going to jump into this Green Bay-Minnesota game because it's a big game for both teams, but especially, of course, for my boys. We have to make sure we figure something out. Jordan Love has to start doing better. We do have a better offense in most ways, but our rushing is definitely leaving a lot on the table. Josh Jacobs, of course, is a concern for me. But our defense, we're struggling to get after. We're struggling to get after the quarterbacks compared to a lot of these teams. We're not getting the interceptions that we need, so we're not getting that coverage. Even though most of the games are fairly low scoring that we get into, you know, our average is 17th in the league at 24 points per game. We're going up against the Vikings, who thankfully are just a tad bit worse. They're ranked 25th with 21.8 points per game right now. Passing wise, we're much better, but this is kind of inflated against the Vikings because that also includes the Carson Wentz time. And unfortunately, Carson Wentz was not a great quarterback for them. They did not find a legendary backup to take over, for sure. So Green Bay has a lot of work ahead of them. They are at home. It's a divisional game, so it's going to be ugly. We're going to have to control Aaron Jones. And we're definitely going to have to keep, you know, Jefferson under wraps. I think we're going to find that unless J.J. McCarthy does something really phenomenal, I think we're going to find that this won't be a necessarily an incredibly complicated game. But we do need to do well in this game. And I think this is important for what we're going to try to do against Detroit coming up on Thanksgiving. So my opinion is this is going to be a close game. It's going to be a low scoring game. And unfortunately, even though I think Green Bay can pull this out, I think it's probably going to want to be in a costly game. I think injuries are going to be a big problem in this one. I don't know why, but it just seems like that's how it gets.
Well, you're about to be mad at me, in my opinion. I got the Vikings. I got the Vikings.
I already know. Margin.
It's not, you know, it's not anything against you, or it's really not even, well, it's kind of against the Packers. I don't think they got it in them. I don't think they got a win in them. And I think the Vikings, coming off of that loss last week, they got something to prove.
Okay. I'm not going to say that I disagree that they could win it, but I do think we have a good chance of doing it. After all, we did beat them on our last time we played them, which of course was last year, December of last year. We beat them. Actually, I'm sorry, we lost. We lost by 2 points.
I definitely think that y'all are about to lose this game.
I think we're about to try to have to get some revenge.
If y'all don't have any form of actual defense, the Vikings are going to pick y'all apart, period. J.J. McCarthy is he just had his first real loss, his first loss that, you know, could have went an entire another way. Once again, I don't think that y'all have what it takes to actually push forward on the Vikings this week.
Well, I hope you are wrong, especially since we can't afford to drop this and then have to potentially turn around and take on, you know,
the y'all Lions. Are definitely losing to the Lions.
Hey, hold on. No. Be careful what you say. Be careful. Look what just happened to them against the Eagles. They are struggling right now. There is something wrong in Detroit.
Y'all don't ain't be the so Eagles. Quick.
Don't be so. We do more than the Eagles do. We are putting up more points typically in a game than the Eagles do right now. We have a better chance of beating the Lions, I feel like, than we do the Vikings, but I don't know that we're going to get that win against the Lions, so we need to get this win against the Vikings. So, that's all I'm going to say on that. And
Lions don't beat who is it that they play this week?
The Lions, who do they play this week?
Yeah, if the Lions don't beat
the Giants by at least 30,
I'll be surprised.
Well, but here's the thing.
Campbell's a bully. He's gonna Dan bully
Campbell
was team.
A bully, but the problem is the refs. His style of football is not going in his favor this year, and that's what Dan Campbell's complaint has been, is that the league has been a little bit, he feels like biased. So I will say that I think there is an issue there, and I think some of it is Dan Campbell's style of football. I think it's a great style of football, but I think the refs are pretty much going to ensure that that type of football does not exist. However, I will say we should probably move on. I want to get into the Colts and the Chiefs. The Chiefs just got bullied, in my opinion, by the Broncos. The scoreline doesn't matter. The fact is the Chiefs lost, and they lost to the Broncos. The Broncos are going nuts. The Broncos are not better than the Colts, in my opinion. After all, both teams are 8-2. The Broncos are 9-2. The Colts are 8-2, and they're looking to go 9-2 as well. This is a big game for the Chiefs. They can't afford to drop this one.
Actually care what you're talking about, sir. The Broncos are so damn horrible. It doesn't matter. I'm so sick of you saying that it doesn't matter because their record is reflective of their standing.
They could win if they win every game, sir, by a couple of points. They go to the playoffs, they win by a couple of points. They go to the Super Bowl, they win
guaranteed.
By a couple of
they don't do any of that.
You say guaranteed, all of that, but they're 9-2. You have one of the best records in the league. The playoffs. They are playing every game like it's a playoff challenge.
That's literally what they play. All of my next paycheck on the fact that they fall in the playoffs.
I would hope they do. I can't stand them.
They fall in the playoffs. Playing them like this, playing like that is horrible. It is terrible football, bro. And I'm so sick of hearing you say it is terrible football. It matters. It matters completely how you win a game. It matters completely what type of effort you're putting into each game. It is why the Chiefs failed last year. The Chiefs didn't put forth any effort last year and had a great record, by the way. They had actually, I believe they had the best record last year and still lost to the Eagles because every game that they won last year was a horrible win. They got it by the skin of their teeth. They covered spreads on probably like 3 different teams. Other than that, they couldn't cover a spread to save their life out of 18 games. These are facts. So, no, I'm not going to agree with you that it doesn't matter. Why? Because when you win ugly, you're going to play ugly against another team that's not going to play with you. The Chiefs went in there and played with the Broncos. Cool, they lost. By golly. But I can guarantee you they go up against a team in the playoffs that's actually hungry. The Broncos are going down hard, too. It's going to be a blowout game. It's going to be an embarrassing game for Bo Nix.
Well, good stuff. I'm going to leave it at that. I think the Colts are going to take this. I'm just going to leave it at that with them and the Chiefs. And I'm going to move on to the next game unless you got something else.
Go right ahead, sir.
Cool. The Jets and the Ravens. The Ravens have no excuses to drop this game. If they do, then, well, they deserve not to go to the playoffs. And at the end of the day, the Jets have not got anything to bring to the table. Really, statistically, in most categories outside of rushing, they're pretty much towards the bottom of the pack. They actually have 0 interceptions on defense. They are the worst in the league at 164.2, which puts them at 32nd in passing yards per game. They sit at 20.9 points per game, so they're sitting at 26th in the league. I mean, the Ravens, outside of sacks and passing yards per game, because they are a rushing dominant team, they are definitely a more ground game based team, but they are much better with scoring points. They rank 12th in the league at 25.2. Coming into this game, the Jets have pretty much keel-hauled their defense, shipping out several players. They're going to struggle. However, the Ravens offense has some problems. Rashad Bateman is still listed as out. Keon Martin on defense is out. Kyle Hamilton is a full participation, so he should be back. Marlon Humphrey should be back. But, you know, these guys are still going to be coming back, and they're going to have them injuries kind of on their tail there. Roquan Smith, Isaiah Likely, you know, we're talking about guys that, you know, they need them healthy to have a chance of winning. The Jets, I think, pretty much at this point know it's time to call it a wrap on the season. They're going to be looking to fill a lot of spots out of the draft. I think they're going to need to get a good receiver to pair up with Garrett Wilson. Probably look towards the second or third round of the draft for that. I fathom they're probably going to look for a quarterback. I would say that's what their first round is going to go to. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do that and tighten up that offensive line some, try to give themselves something, you know, something to work with. Their defense, I don't know what their plan is there. I imagine they'll try to fix it in the draft, but I feel like they're probably going to go to free agency and try to put some better players from the, you know, the veterans that's out there, you know, try to get them out there and see what happens. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking about this game. Already looking for the next season. I'm pretty sure that's pretty much how the rest of their year is going to go. So I'm calling this for the Ravens. I feel like they could probably throw half of their backups out there and they'll probably still get the dub. So.
I agree, sir. If the Ravens drop this, they don't deserve anything. They definitely don't deserve to talk about them anymore. So we're going to call this for the Ravens.
Okay. Well, let's bounce to these next couple of games. Pittsburgh and Chicago is going to be a great game. It's another early one at 1 o'clock. I think this is going to be one of the better games of the week. Obviously, I think Green Bay and Minnesota is going to be pretty fun. But I think Pittsburgh and Chicago is going to have some really good highlights. I think Aaron Rodgers
is going to Chicago.
I definitely would call it for Chicago if Mason Rudolph has to play for the Steelers. If Rodgers comes out and plays, which he is still questionable, but he is not out. So for those of you in fantasy, you might want to make some decisions on having a backup in place. But I would definitely say that if Rodgers is out there, it's going to be a great game. I think that the reality of it is Caleb Williams, he's going to have to stay calm in the pocket because they're going to try to get after him. Swift is going to have to – he's going to have to get some work in because I do believe – let me double-check myself here, make sure he is not out. No, he is not – yeah, he is at full participation. So, okay, he should be in that game. There is a lot of injuries. I will put this out there. There are a lot of questionable players and a lot of out players for the Bears right now. Some of these are actually concerning when you're talking about out players. Sewell is still out. Roshan Johnson's out. Travis Horner, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. Those are all out for the several of these guys that are on questionables. Now, I will say Jaquan Brisker is full participation right now, which is a good thing. But Theo Benedett, Kyle Gordon, Jalen Johnson, these guys are, you know, mostly full participation. But these are questionable guys. And the rest of these, there's several more on this list that are not necessarily questionable, but they have some issues. The Steelers have plenty of their own. Cameron Hayward, Alex Highsmith, who is actually doubtful. DK Metcalf is that did not participate. Probably not that crazy, to be honest. Aaron Rodgers is questionable. Of course, Darius Slay, Jonnu Smith, Jalen Warren is a full participation. TJ Watt, a full participation. So, you know, a lot of these guys will be out there for sure. But I think the biggest thing to look at here is that the Bears offensively are one of the top 10 in the league in rushing and points per game. They're not doing too bad in passing either. The Steelers, ironically, are really bad on offense compared to the Bears on average. However, the problem is that the Steelers have one of the better defenses in the league. They rank it fourth in sacks at 33. That is a problem that Caleb Williams is going to have to deal with. And again, it goes back to the offensive line. They have a lot of guys that are nursing injuries, and they're going to have to stay healthy. And it's going to be a problem if they get after him. And they're also ranked ninth in interceptions. They have nine of them. So they're ranked ninth with nine. So it's going to be a big thing. The Bears defense is going to have a good time, I think, with Aaron Rodgers, or especially Mason Rudolph, because they are the number one for interceptions at 15. And I think they're going to add a couple more in this game. I'm going to call this for the Bears. With Mason Rudolph, I definitely am calling it for the Bears, and it would be probably a fairly wide margin. I think I'd still call it for the Bears if Rodgers is out there. Rodgers is very familiar with them, many, many, many years in Green Bay, many, many years of owning them, really not dropping hardly any against them ever, no matter who he had on his team. But I think this is the Steelers, and it's going to be a bit different. So I think the Bears and Caleb Williams are going to take this dub either way. I just think it's going to be a different look on how it goes, whether it's Mason Rudolph or Aaron Rodgers.
Well, you guys, we're going to call it quits right here. I do want to go ahead and bring up one of our sponsors, the Aspire Energy Drinks. Yes, we get paid for bringing them up, but we also love to drink them, and they are good for you. It's a great alternative energy drink, and we love them. So sure you're using that code Beyond. Gets you a 25% off discount. Beautiful stuff. I use it all the time, and I'm about to use it again here soon because I'm out of my drinks again.
This is what, your third, fourth order?
Third order.
Excellent news. Yeah, so I definitely would recommend y'all looking into them. Just give it a shot. And, you know, if you don't like them, hey, it is what it is. And if you do like them, hey, I mean, well, you just found yourself something pretty solid, and it's a good price. I mean, it's a 12-pack for, I think, after the discount. I think it turns out to be like right at around, was it like $20? I do believe it is. So overall, it's not bad. It's definitely worth it. It only takes a couple of days to get to your door. It's a multi-pack. Get that, take a look at it, and yeah, I think you'll like it.
Well, Ben, it has been a fun episode. As always, we love talking to you guys. Do you got anything else to say to them?
I do not, other than go Packers, and yeah, that's it.
All right, you guys, let's get back to the bread. Peace.